Yeah. Wagwan.
Are you telling me that's
okay. You know, now, yeah. Now, Bookie finally woke up after some time. And he said that, that where's the link? That I've deleted all of them. I said, this guy. Bookie Shadi. Anyhow, Bookie, no pee. But yeah, man. Hopefully, I told him to join us when he's ready. So I've sent him another link again. So hopefully, Bookie will enjoy it if he can. But I won't be surprised if he does it. Because for some reason, this will be too difficult for Bookie to navigate. God knows. Anyhow, Sha, bro, right now, we all know, guys. Guys, for me to just put a bit of introduction into this or a bit of backstory into this, I'm here with the boy, Smart E, a.k.a. Emmanuel Olabi, the head boy of Abuja. Guys,
I was about to hear you. Just had to spoil it with that last thing.
Okay, I'm sorry. Guys, I spoiled it now.
don't worry.
Okay. Okay. See, guy, everything undelivered fresh on this side, guy. Everything undelivered naturally. You feel me? Genuinely. Guy, so anyhow, no problem. Bro, as I was saying, man, guys, we all know for the past 1 or 2 weeks, basically on the 20th of October 2020, Nigerians had a massacre in the country. Something that has never been seen before in recent history.
Mm.
People were wasted for God knows why. Protesting to wanting a change in a country that claims to be democratically inept. I mean, obviously they don't claim that, but everybody in the country knows that they're democratically inept. When you have people leading the country that have been there since we were in freaking primary school, people that were in the same textbooks that we used in primary school, that our children will probably use, God forbid. Hence why we are trying to make sure there is a change in the country. So guys, basically, the government ordered for, I think about 78 was the number, but I know enough about the media to know that that was just a media number.
Mm-hmm.
That number was probably in the high hundreds, if not 200, that they killed. They wasted the lives of Nigerians. Imagine, guys, being in a country where you feel safe, where at least the last place you should feel scared in your own country, and you find out that your government is basically just wasting lives. Guys, where the hell can you start from with that? Guys, where the hell? Like my brother perfectly put it, he said, how can the dream of a country be to escape it? Wow. Like, guys, you gotta think about that. The dream of most Nigerians is to get out of that country. Can you imagine? That is the level we are at right now. And I'm just here with my boy, like I said, guys, Smart E, Emmanuel Olabi, he's here to give his opinion, man. And bro, tell us, man, like from your own eyes, so, guy, how what's going on in the country?
Well, basically, like Nigeria in general itself, like when somebody, like when I'm talking about Nigeria, like I don't be like to be honest, like I don't like talking too much based on the fact that it starts to, like, you understand, it starts to get agitating, and at the same time it starts to get a little bit like painful per se in a certain way, because it doesn't make sense. Because you know, like in most cases, if you're complaining about something or you're like complaining about a situation that isn't working, a system that isn't working, you kind of have the reason for why it's not working. You have like logical reasons why it's not working, and therefore you have logical solutions for how to make it start working.
Yep.
But when you talk about Nigeria, like there are so many things that don't make sense, that it's like it just adds to the whole annoyance and everything, because there's no reason why it should even make sense. Like it's just so annoying. Okay, now let's take a look at this situation right now. We're literally begging the government that, yo, there are people you put on the streets to take care of us, they are killing us, please, we don't want to die. And the government retaliated by killing us more. Like, please now tell me, how does that make sense? Like, it doesn't even make sense. If you said, okay, it makes sense, you now think about wanting to attack people, it doesn't even make sense. They're asking for life, and they are killing more, and like, you're wasting more lives. Like, that doesn't even make sense. Now, let's go to the back to the point that these guys, their claim right now is that we said they should end SARS, and they ended SARS. or they continue the protest. Now, I don't know how foolish they think everybody is that this same SARS that they disbanded since. Like, how many years now? Isn't it like 40 or 30 years they disbanded SARS? No, wala.
Wow.
Bro, this protest happened for, I think, the Lekki massacre, I think, happened on the 11th or 14th day of the protest. I can't really remember. But let's say, okay, worst case scenario, it happened on the 14th day. So these guys are telling us that we started our protest. Within these 14 days, they heard us, they disbanded SARS. Within these 14 days, the members that they used, that they disbanded from SARS, they arrested them, they charged them to court, they took them to prison. Within these 14 days, they sat down and made a reasonable plan about this new unit they want to come out with. About a new unit they want to, like, you understand, bring on the system. Like, oh, our people have been saying, oh, this, the last unit we did was messed up, so at least this one should make sense. They came, what they're trying to tell is that they sat down and thought about this thing within 14 days. Then within that 14 days again, they want to tell me that they have started training these new SWAT agents. Like, how dumb are we, bro? Like, how dumb do these people think we are?
Wow.
Like, they're trying to tell us that, oh, they have ended SARS. Which ended SARS? They just moved. Bro, they said they're training 1,850 new SWAT agents. Bro, where did they find 1,850 new SWAT agents?
Wow.
Like, does that make sense? Like, how dumb do they think we are, for crying out loud? How dumb do they think we are?
My God.
Like, it's just so annoying. It doesn't make sense. Or should we talk about the fact that our government didn't even give it? They didn't even give a fuck about this thing. Sorry for my language, but they didn't even care.
No problem.
But they didn't even care about this thing. They didn't even care about this thing until it started affecting their pockets. Like, it started affecting the godfather's pockets, or it started affecting Tinubu's pockets. See, Tinubu now, he had the liver to come out today and say he's a Lagosian, he's still the Jagaban of Lagos. Like, what is that? What is that, bro? Can you imagine that, bro? Until it started affecting his, what do you call it, his tollgate, his money. That's when this guy was now, that's when the government now even took, that's when they now even really, okay, so let them concentrate on the protest. Then instead of them to now actually do something reasonable about it, they now decided to shoot guys. Like, how does that make sense? Bro, it doesn't make any sense to me, because these guys are stolen so much from Nigeria that, okay, now, even if we say, okay, now just stop singing, just give up, just go. They are going, them and their generations to come are going to be okay. So why are they so committed to 2014? Like, why are they fighting so hard to do the wrong thing? It doesn't make sense. Now look at, with all the millions they are hiding, with all the millions they are stealing, they are not hiding in the mutu. They are not hiding sugar. Like, you see why I say this country, like, it doesn't just make sense, man. It doesn't just make sense. It doesn't just make sense. Like, bro, it's crazy, man. It's crazy. Me, what I'm just happy about is that, like, Nigerians, their eyes are opening. Nigerians, their eyes are opening. You get? That was just one thing I'm happy about. Nigerians, their eyes are opening. Me, what I'm just praying right now is for the average guy on the average woman on the street, the average man on the street, you know, for them to be aware of this situation. Like, I've just been thinking, like, how can we, like, let them be aware of this thing? Because at the end of the day, all these hoodlums that they paid to come and scatter the protest and shit like that, they don't even know what the fuck is going on. All they just know is that they are collecting 2-5, and that's why they're going to go and do whatever it is they are doing. But I'm telling you, that's it. So, like, if they just know one or two, like, they actually know that, bro, this protest that they are stopping right now, if you actually know stop them, you can get way more than that 2-5. Yeah, like, they're ahead with Lucky now. See, I heard today that they found palliative in Yola, beware, that the people of Yola started saying, no more, they don't vote for anybody in 2023. Because, guy, when they see that, bro, like, bro, you're begging, what you're glorifying these guys for, what you're riding, what you're following these guys for is the bare minimum that you said. You start to realize that, bro, like, what the actual fuck? You get, like, what are these guys doing over here? Like, you can't stand for this. Like, and that's one thing I want the North especially, like, to be aware of. Like, that awareness, like, I want it to go so much there, because it's not making sense. See that black guy that is taking Jack to court? There's this, I've forgotten his name, man, because I didn't really say about the guy, but the guy is taking Jack, like, the owner of Twitter, to court for breaking the answer symbol and all those things. Yeah, that guy. And, like, guy, it doesn't make sense. The other day, he brought out a video in house saying, talking about how or the Arewa should not support NSAS, that NSAS is just trying to end Buhari's campaign, and that whether Buhari has been good or not, that they shouldn't shame the House, the Northerners. So like they should make sure that, yeah, can you imagine that was stupid talk? You tell me whether it's Northern president or Southern president or whatever president, I mean, it'll be Nigerian president. Like what is that guy saying? Like it's annoying, man. So like I think I really believe awareness is a major way we should like that is going to help us like moving forward. Because we have
awareness,
already seen
awareness.
Man. We have already seen clearly that like it's possible. No, like it's not possible. Bro, this 14 days, I'll be 10 days, guy. Like on his own, like it literally happened on his own. We formed a small government. Like nobody told those feminist coalition guys to start taking funds. Nobody like told guys to say, okay, let's start giving guys food here as we're gathered like this. Nobody it's just like showing you how loving Nigeria, how caring Nigerians can actually be for each other. So like if you can have a country full of those type of citizens, like why is the country in itself so like so messed up? Like Nigerians are great everywhere except for Nigeria. How does that make sense? You hear a Nigerian book record something, if you go and check, he's a something Nigerian. You get like it doesn't make sense, like you know, when we don't even have infrastructure. The other day Sheung Kuti was saying something, I was like, bro, okay, now if somebody says you want to be a rocket scientist in this country, can he stay in the country?
Nope.
Like you can't, like guy, there's nothing. Like you literally, it's not even if you love your country. Like,
guys, by the way, Sheung Kuti, in case you don't know, the person just called is the son of the legendary musician Fela Kuti.
Fela Kuti, yes, sir. He's been fighting the system for a while. He's been fighting, and shout out to him too, because like he's at least giving guys like somewhere to go to, because like even after this Lekki massacre, a lot of people were like confused, a lot of people were, they didn't even know what to do again, because like they're like the only way they know how to fight the system, like the system just literally told them like I don't even give a fuck about what you're trying to do right now. So a lot of people were confused, but like him, like Shenwu and a couple other guys like that were already like gingering the protest, like even after the Lekki massacre, they still like kept going strong, like kept saying things to motivate people and like, just trying to let us know what the next step is. So like I really believe like that helped a lot of Nigerians to like calm down and still think that okay, at least like there's hope here. Like we didn't just lose lives for nothing and everything.
100%.
And me personally believe we didn't lose lives for nothing. Like the blood that was spilled, like the sacrifices, like it's made, and like so the change has to happen. You get what I'm saying? Like
100.
Change has to happen. Like it's not going to click. Like that's just how it is. Like look at what those I discovered all these things, that even the system is so messed up that even when you want to do good, it's so hard. Because okay, now look at this COVID politics right now. The humanitarian minister, whatever. That woman, I remember when she was telling us that she collected money and she has distributed the palliatives. Nigerians were insulting her that which palliative. Nobody has seen anything. The four-pack of hungry man, they still have palliatives. We're insulting her, but that woman actually did her job. But it's the government or the governors in each state or whatever, whoever was keeping those goods, it's them that refused to distribute the goods.
Yep.
You see, like, yep. You know, like all this while, that woman that is receiving all the costs and all the insults. But just because one person doesn't want to do the job. Bro, like, it doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense.
You find out the truth afterwards. After people have been deceived by the initial thought that someone who was supposed to do their job didn't do it well, not knowing that that person was blocked deliberately by those in higher places not to do their job. That's a normal Nigerian story. Normal. Ask anybody that's wanted to do anything good for that country.
It doesn't make any sense. Like it's so, like my Nigeria, like the whole SARS thing. Me, I just like.
Bro, I wanted you to really, really spaz out, yeah. For these first 14 minutes, bro, you really spazzed out. That's why I tried my best not to interrupt you in any way, shape, or form. So in everything you said, bro, you brought out certain topics. You see, one is the palliatives. Two, you talked about Tinubu. Three, you talked about if you can remember the things you're talking about, you talked about obviously Fela's impact,
yeah, Fela and his kids,
yeah,
about awareness too.
that's solution part. I wanted us to we'll end with what you think are the solutions. Just give us, you give us like probably like three bullet point solutions that you think, if you can expand on it, good. If you can't, we'll take those three bullet points, because as I said, it's a very sensitive topic, and to be honest, I would understand anywhere you go with the discussion. So like you said, palliatives, Tinubu, Fela, what other teams do you think are involved in this SARS?
In this SARS, like, obviously we have the grid. The grid aspect.
I just talked about one that you talked about as well. The changing of SARS to SWAT.
Yeah.
To SWAT. Changing of
and SWAT. One of the biggest problems too is the unaccountability. Like, nobody's taking accountability for anything. Like, nobody.
Accountability.
There's nobody to hold account for anything. Sawolu is telling us the person that shot, the people that control the shooting, people higher than his control. What was he saying?
Yep, yep.
People
that are above his direct control.
Yeah, yeah. He was saying that the Nigerian army was saying that nobody was even there, nobody shot. So please, who is Sawolu now saying that? The others happened above his control. If nobody was there, then who the Lagos governor go to? Yo, can you imagine? So who the Lagos governor go to get this in the hospital? Who the Lagos governor make a press conference about apologizing to the people that lost that were injured? That even lied. They looked at the camera and lied that there were no fatalities. I mean, fatalities. Like, it doesn't make sense. Then the president will now come out and even address it. You get, like, even that president was another sketchy people, because, like, why doesn't
he? I put it here. Under accountability, I have Lagos, Buhari, and fake news. That's army.
Bro.
So you can talk like, on those. You can talk
like,
on those.
Like, why doesn't he want to come out? Like, that's what me, I don't understand. Like, it doesn't make any sense that even if he's the one that did it, like, it's something that he'll come out and accept his chest or try and find a way to the president now. Oh. You accept his chest or try and find a way to cover it up. But this guy is not even coming up on live TV. The recording that they wanted to deceive their junior, they wanted to deceive their children with, that is live. See how fake that recording is. Looking like a false and like, they said it was live. That recording that Buhari did.
I never saw Buhari's address.
There's no point. It's like a post and go video. And like, whoever is there, shall whoever that person is, Buhari or whoever it is, the person was there. We're not talking like somebody that is aware of what's going on. The person just read word for word whatever was on that paper, and the person did it. You get what I'm saying? Like, it doesn't mean, it's just like somebody that's dubbing.
There was a recording without like a video?
No, there was a recording with the video, but like that's what you made, you know, that it's not live, because like you can see the videos, like they are, it's like when you play and pause videos, like you can see that, like, even from the quality and everything, even where the way the video is itself, the way the video went, you know that this was
the government thing. Has forgotten that we're in 2020 where almost half of Nigerians probably have a YouTube channel.
It doesn't even make sense, man.
Bro, you've spazzed a lot on this and I love it. Like, for anybody that will not have time to get too deep into this conversation, what you said at the beginning, these first 18 minutes, I'm sure they should have a view of what's going on. Now, I want to just bring up the five things we've talked about. I want you to just now let's just talk about them clearly so people can now know in segments what we are talking about, and at the end you just give your three bullet point solutions. So first of all, on the palliative issue, what happened with the palliatives? What is palliative about?
So basically, palliative is like dealing with all this COVID, with the coronavirus that happened in the world beginning of the year. And well, up to now in some places like over here in Canada, I'm not sure who. I don't know. Some people say it's the World Bank. Some people say it's UN. So
Nigeria received.
I don't know who
aid.
It is, but Nigeria received foreign aid.
Okay.
To help relieve the problems or the stress for the citizens during the COVID-19, because
got you.
The corona caused a lot of, like, for economy as a whole, it felt the impact of Corona. So they sent, Nigeria got some foreign aid to help its citizens. Now, this foreign aid, presumably it got to Nigeria on May of this month, May of this year, sorry. But
yes, sir.
We are just finding about it now, and we're in October, like ending of October. Hmm. Like, this is like how many months back? Like, this particular situation is so sad because they gave each state like money for, or they even bought like food stuff. Like in somewhere like Kaduna, you could see places, things like mattresses. Like, that's to show you that they actually put in consideration into like this state and what each person in the state will actually need. You know what I'm saying? Like, some states, they know, okay, these people is mostly food. Some states, they know, okay, this guy is not just food. They even need, like, somewhere to rest, where, like, lie down and shit like that. So, like, bro, they actually talked about all these things. But this government decided that, oh, for whatever reason it is, that they are going to just keep this in a warehouse and not use it for anything. Some of the governors that decided to shared only four packs of super pack, of that Indomie super pack. Like, how does that make sense? Now, that how does that make sense?
Some women that got together, like you mentioned with the feminist something you said, some women got together and I saw the help they rendered versus a country that had $10 billion budget.
See that nonsense, bro.
I was seeing like 4 or 5 Indomies. God of mess. Bro. Americans, if you're listening to this, what you call ramen. Ramen, yeah? Imagine giving a country 4 or 5 packs. Imagine giving a family 4 or 5 packs of ramen as a COVID. Oh my God.
So like, it's just insane. And like, now the people are finding out, if this protest, if people didn't wake up like right now, they would have been found out about all this. They are keeping all this. People were literally dying during this COVID time.
I never knew about this.
They had all this. Each state had all this, like hidden. Like, it's crazy. Like, for the past 3 days, I've just been finding them all over the country.
Yeah, I've been seeing videos of people just rambling, like, it's when crazy. The jungle, bro. Like when you bring food to soldiers in the jungle.
It's crazy.
You know, when you hear that Nigeria is such a corrupt country, that even when foreigners try to invest in this country and put money into this country, you've always heard stories that the government, they siphon the funds, they don't actually do the job they're supposed to do, they're very lethargic at the way they execute any of all these contracts. Mm-hmm. If you never believed all those rumors, this palliative issue should clearly tell you the model that is going on in Nigeria. You receive foreign aid, you hide, or do not even distribute it, and next thing, you intend to sell it back to the nation. Because I promise you, bro, if they did not share all those things for themselves, you'll probably have sold it back.
My thought is like, they'll sell some. For some, they'll use it for their normal bribery, like their normal bribery or corruption. Like, they can even save some to election and start using it to share during election so that they'll get it.
On God!
There was a particular one I saw, but like, I don't know, because I saw this off Twitter, so like, I don't really know, I didn't confirm it. So I don't want to be saying false news, but I saw a particular thing on Twitter saying that this particular guy was like, he was saving it because his birthday was coming up very soon. So like, he was like, regardless, just wanted to share it during his birthday together with everything, so that it would just be like, oh, like, a big celebration. And like, bro, like, what are you saying? Like,
this is like... What kind of a high school reason did that just get?
Yo, it doesn't make any sense.
Something that probably goes to the country since May, like, Octo freaking bar.
It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense.
God. So for the palliatives, guys, in summary, the Nigerian government were giving financial aid from foreigners, obviously, so let's just call it foreign aid because it could be financial and it was also in goods, or we don't know if the Nigerian government are the ones that bought the goods. But long story short, we were given foreign aid to help the nation, and basically this government kept this aid in terms of aid that came in, like food, clothing, beds, whatever each state needed was provided, and this country kept it in only God knows where. Now we got to a point where the country was fighting for its rights of democracy, of not wanting a certain type of security agency. We did not want that. And after that fight, we realized that even the COVID pandemic that happened and the help we got, that help was actually never rendered. So in fighting one battle, we realized there was another battle that was supposed to have been fought. Hence why this cannot stop now. Because Lord knows what else can be uncovered in that nation. Wow.
For sure.
Guy, done with the palliatives. Let's move on. Concerning Tinubu, what's that man's role in all of this?
I don't know, man. I don't really know because like I'm not even conscious. Like I don't really know from what I'm seeing, like he basically like owns a lot of things in Lagos, like a lot of he holds a lot of power in Lagos. So like he can literally do what he wants to do, basically. In Nigeria, you don't get that way without like stealing a lot of money or doing a lot of corrupt things to get to that level that you're at. And like the toll gate itself, like he allegedly owns it. Like the signboard, his son is the one that owns the signboard that he switched off that made the toll gate turn dark for the soldiers to start shooting in the first place.
Oh wow!
He gets and like so like I don't know and like there are rumors that he owns or like they are. Like almost everybody says he owns the toll gate. So like
what is that toll gate?
So toll gate is literally like when you are going from Lagos has the mainland and the island. So like when you are coming to the island from the mainland or going off the island to the mainland, like you pay like a certain fee. So to pass through that gate. So that's what they call the toll gate. So you pay to pass through the gate. So imagine everybody coming in and out of the city paying like small, no matter how small it is, even if it's $5, so and normally that type of money
is the most populated state. Exactly. In Nigeria.
So and normally that type of money is expected to go to the state since I mean it's in the state that money is made for like apparently the money goes to Tinubu himself, like goes to like because he owns it, like it's not government owned. So yeah, like basically if I don't know fully aware of like Tinubu's
details, but from
what I understand, like he has a serious hold. Like that's just even the baseline. The foundation he doesn't know is that like Tinubu is literally the godfather of Lagos.
It's not even something
he hides. Like we spoke about earlier, he literally said it today. Like he's Jagaban of Lagos. Like who says that at that age? Says Jagaban of Lagos in the midst of things like this when people are it doesn't make sense.
That's why there's one secret source you've still not mentioned in all of this concerning even him, Tinubu, or even government officials of Nigeria. You said yes, they will do corrupt things, do this, that, and the other. I know on God who made me. This man in particular is definitely involved in so many diabolical things you can't even mention. For you to have such guts to come out and just speak anyhow you're untouchable, basically. That's how it feels. Who will come on national TV or whatever, social media, and tell these Nigerians that are enraged now that I am the boss of this place and nothing will happen? That's basically what he said.
Yep.
Because they asked him, we heard rumors that you went to Paris, you went to this and the other. I said, me? I'm a Lagosian. I'm the Asiwaju of Lagos. I'm a Jagaban. What?
That doesn't make any sense.
Oh my days. Definitely involving diabolical things. So at some certain levels, there are only some things that I know only God can handle. On God, for concerning that country. Sure. There are definitely some things that I know is only God that can handle them.
For sure.
That's for sure. Like guys, to summarize this Tinubu aspect as well, this guy is basically what you call a godfather, especially in the political scene, is someone that can pick and replace people in power. So you know when you have your state governors, you have your senators, in whatever country you are listening to this from, guys, you have your leaders. Imagine someone in a position that can pick and choose and remove whichever leader he decides. That kind of a person in such a position is what we are referring to as a Jagaban in Nigeria. So this man right here, he calls himself that, and clearly no one really argues with him concerning that title in the nation. So we know it's probably true. And for this to have happened in that country, this massacre, and for him to be so involved, meaning, like we said, he probably owns that toll gate, that his son probably owns the signboard. Guys, don't get this twisted. These are still unofficial stories. These are just two boys talking about their nation. So we are not experts by no means, but we are just here trying to keep the conversation going. This guy owns all of all this, and for him to still have the guts that he has, that shows you that nation still has a long way to go. I've heard from people before say, sometimes you just need a situation of either Buhari or Tinubu dying. Like sometimes you just need people to actually just leave this earth for things to change. It's crazy. But Ghana had a situation where they had a leader called Jerry Rawlings. Jerry Rawlings eliminated 8 of their highest cabinet officers, people that were controlling Ghana at the time. He was still a soldier, basically. And him and junior soldiers, eliminated those people just to try and take over their nation and turn it to a better situation. I mean, there must have been ups and downs with that story, which there were. Actually, the people that Jerry Rawlings and his guys actually fought for, so the new government they fought for, they actually then went against them later in the future. But what am I trying to say? Ghana had their own revolutionary period, and it took someone actually eliminating people for that country to move on. Let me give you something here. Bro, do you remember Ghana Must Go?
Yeah, bro.
It's still there till today. Well, guys, first, Ghana Must Go is a phrase that was coined from the period where Nigerians wanted Ghanaians to go. If you're an immigrant or from any immigrant country, yeah? I don't need to name names, but just let's say Nigeria or anywhere from Africa or maybe the Philippines or anywhere in Asia or whatever that you know, like Poland or Romania or whatever. Because I thank God, guys, I see the analytics of you guys listening to this, and I thank you guys so much. If you guys go to other countries, and when I, that's what I mean by obviously being there, I'm saying immigrant, any of those countries that you go to, and if you are from any of that, those countries I just mentioned, it is very difficult for you to think you own anything in that country you are going to. It's very difficult for you to even want to claim anything in that country that you are going to. This situation now that we're talking about is Nigeria having leaders that have basically forgotten totally about us. Like I was talking about Jerry Rawlings, Ghana had a lot of their citizens in Nigeria at the time. Nigeria was economically higher than Ghana by far. We're doing better, we're doing fine. So Ghanaians came in, just like we immigrants go to developed countries in order for a better life. So they tried to do what they could in Nigeria, and Nigerians got fed up and they wanted the Ghanaians to go. And they came up with a phrase called Ghana Must Go. And that is now, it's now a word that is used to represent an item. It's a bag. It's a bag that you can put things in, like when you're traveling, when you buy a luggage. But this is just a plastic bag that every Nigerian you tell and ask, what's the name of this bag? They'll tell you Ghana Must Go. From my own just logic sense now, I'm trying to think that was probably the kind of bags a lot of Ghanaians were using when they were leaving the country. Mm-hmm. It's that kind of thing that stuck till today. Just for you to know the stage Ghana was at compared to how they are now. What am I trying to say? Guys, our country needs drastic revolution for us to move from where we are. I hear us with our protests and whatnot. What I fear with the protest is, I don't know how long Nigerians can hold before. But if you have a Jerry Rawlings situation, that is a one-time thing, that from that execution, we move forward. Because as far as somebody is out of the picture, the only way is up. But with this protest, Lord knows, we'll see how far it will go. I'm not here to promote violence, but what that country has done to me, I don't really even want to go personal, because guys, Daniel, you're listening to now, I lost my dad and the government was involved. That's all I'll say about that. I don't want to go too deep into it, but just for you to know that this hits home even more personally. So guys, hopefully, I hope that something like the Jerry Rawlings situation can happen. If it does, only God knows. Because for my country, It's not just like I was hearing Oye Mike talk about the kind of solutions we need are not the solutions we are looking for are more what he called Oyibo solutions. So Nigerians listen to this, they'll know what I mean. The white man solution. We are trying to get to that white man solution, but we cannot get there by using the white man's methods because our country thinks in a very different way. And that's why I said what I said concerning if it's elimination that he needs to get to, it's God that will take care of that because only he gives and takes away lives. So we leave that as that. Wow. Bro, concerning Fela, let's touch on this Fela and his kids. How impactful has Femi Kuti been on this whole situation? Well, or Seun Kuti, you said, sorry.
All of them just have, like, they have their audience, yeah? Let me put it like that. Like, Femi has...
Okay. They are influencers Femi, in their own way.
Yeah. Femi has the older audience because Femi is the eldest. Like, Femi is the older son. Okay. But Shemu has like the youth. Like Shemu has, Shemu is a youth. He has the youth, and he's more like the shrine is more in the rural area, like, per se, of Lagos. So like he's more connected to like the people that are actually going through it. Like I'm not saying.
Oh,
I'm
you
not,
said the shrine.
Yeah, the Fela.
You want to explain that quickly?
So Fela shrine is just it's literally just like a place where like Fela, his father, like Shemu's father, like. He had this place where he used to have like shows, like he used to have shows, he used to stay nearby, he used to sleep there and things like that. So guys, it was literally just like a lounge, but like since he died, it's like a place where he just comes to come and like celebrate him, kind of.
If you know okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
So like Shemu is like more relating to like
the youth.
So like he has that energy, he has that and he has that wisdom to him, like I feel like he does. So like he's kind of like pushing, like kind of like giving, trying to give the citizens like an avenue to like stay their mind and like to stir this protest or stir this all this energy right now towards what we want to do next, towards what we have to do next, because he's been trying his best to impute and follow up how and where he can. You get what I'm saying? And like this has got all true because even just growing up, I'm sure he was just seeing growing up, like because his father fought the system severally. Like these same people we're talking about right now, his father literally fought these same people.
Wow.
Right now. So
wow.
It's crazy. So like,
and we're talking of a legend that's died over a decade ago.
He fought it. Femi fought it. Femi's son right now is fighting. So we're talking three generations fighting the same generation of people.
Guys, can you hear what we are trying to say? Oh my
days. So that's just crazy. But yeah, it's just he's trying his best to follow his father's footsteps and actually do it.
Got you. More grease to the elbow of the Fela family, man, to be honest. Yep, no problem. Bro, concerning SARS turning to SWAT.
Yeah, I think I already even touched that area. Like it's just a joke. Mm-hmm. Like it's literally just a joke. Like it's just they just thought them saying that is just going to make this is just going to deceive the citizens, like, and it didn't work. Wow. Like obviously because we're smarter than that. But yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's just a pure joke right there. Just come on.
So guys, in case you didn't get it and you stayed this long in the pod, I appreciate you. What Emmanuel was saying earlier was this SARS, really, the acronym of it is Special Anti-Robbery Squad. That SARS, the government formed that entity to try and protect the citizens. As you can hear from it and tell, it says Anti-Robbery Squad. There's a whole lot of robberies that goes on in the country. So the government said, okay, how can we help the citizens? Let's form a squad dedicated to this. Oh, wow, what a wonderful play. Okay, it got to a point where now we are realizing that these people are actually killing Nigerians. Like, when you sit down as a Nigerian and you look above, at your leaders above and countries above, what are they doing? What are the developed countries doing? You realize that even in the most developed of all, the U.S., they've been killing people here and there. And when it was Black Lives Matter, every black nation and country in this world were all supportive. The reasons why Black Americans are probably not as supportive to Nigerians is a topic for another day. I wouldn't want us to get to that now, because this podcast will literally almost take 2 hours, guys. I promise, if I go into that. But yeah, just for you to know why you shouldn't be too surprised that Black African Americans are not, you've not really seen them in arms supporting Nigeria as we did to them during the George Floyd issue and all that was going on in America just a few months ago. Like I was saying, SARS was formed and now we realize they were just killing people. What did the citizens do? They said, you know what? The only way we can do this is by protesting. Everybody kept on protesting. And apparently after 14 days, the government came out and said, you know what? We've changed the SARS to SWAT. And what Emmanuel was trying to explain earlier was, you cannot tell educated citizens that they changed a whole entity of security agencies, you turned them to another agency, you trained over 1,000 staffs, you were able to basically wipe off this other agency called SARS, and you made a new one, and now everybody should be happy, everything should be fine. And you want to tell me you did all of that in 14 days? A country that has taken 60 years to not even have normal light? What are you telling me? Are you telling me 14 days you changed the whole atmosphere of violence? My God. So guys, that's why Emmanuel just said that was just a joke. That was just another way that the government took the citizens for a joke. Basically. Very horrendous. But yeah, guys, that is that on the SARS to SWAT issue. Very, very ridiculous, guys. You can go and find out more about that, and it's ridiculous. Moving on to accountability now. We talked about the Lagos State governor coming out to say something. We talked about Buhari coming out to say something, and we talked about Ami saying something. Smart, what can you tell us about that?
Like I said, they are all a joke. Like, the government is a joke. If it comes to accountability, if it comes to the problem of Nigeria, it's literally just a joke thing. It's just a group of old men that are so greedy, like, they just don't want to let go of the power that they have illegally obtained.
Because, I love that.
Because
let go of the power they've illegally obtained. Because wow.
If you say, okay, now see the tape we just called, okay. The military said there was no shooting.
Wow.
The governor said, the governor accepted there was a shooting, but he said he doesn't know under it, or whoever ordered it was powers above his direct control. And the president doesn't even acknowledge the shooting at all. So now, like, where do you want to start from?
Where do you want to start?
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just pathetic. It's just protecting. OBJ was saying, Obasanjo was saying that.
The saddest
P about all this is that we are denying something that has video evidence. Like,
wow, I see.
It's just pathetic. Yes.
Just to show how ridiculous this is. The nation that wanted the change. See, you've gotten the change. See, you're happy with the change now. Lord, forgive me, man. Damn. Change. And the man got voted for his second term. Lord, have mercy. Obviously, the key word there is vote, which I should even remove from that sentence. Because clearly, we know there's no way that any vote was rendered to put that man back. What do I mean, guys? They corruptly just got themselves back, just like Emmanuel said, illegally. Obasanjo times, things were crazy, but at least the country never killed its citizens. Jonathan's time, things were crazy, but at least we never killed the citizens. All of a sudden, you put a herdsman. I don't want to be a tribalist right now. But the clear characteristics in the tribalistic behaviors of this, we've had a Yoruba person, we've had a person from the south, now we've given it to a northerner. And with a northerner, we are having deaths. Like, we're killing Salah Rams.
Well, there have been deaths in everyone, to be fair. But like,
okay, when you think of the Boko Haram,
yeah, like, there have been,
oh yeah. Now, I love the fact you said that. Now, what I'll say to you is, do you know the people that have been sponsoring that?
I'll say we don't know, but clearly with the way that our government is acting right now, like, we won't even keep it far from them to say that they are the ones that are sponsoring them.
I went to school. I will say it right now, Smart. Listen, I went to school with people that were alleged to finance Boko. What? Bro, I went to my seniors and my mates. No games. I lost my dad to this shit. So there's nothing I'm keeping. Like, there's nothing to be scared of saying or whatever, man. It's not a game. I went to school with people whose parents were accused of this. But in a nation where you're accused today, you forget tomorrow. What? So there's no situation of even saying, oh, we are not sure if this Northerners, we are not sure. Nah. Let's not go too deep into that side. No problem. So like we said, the summary of this last segment, guys, concerning accountability is, in the Lagos state, you had the governor come out and say, to be honest, there were probably shootings, but there were powers above me that I can't tell you why I probably couldn't stop it or why this and that happened. So he basically said there was nothing he could do concerning that happened, that it was being controlled by people above him. Okay. The army said nothing actually happened. My God in heaven. They had the nerve to tweet that nothing happened. My God. And then you have your president addressing the nation like we're a bunch of cows, like we're a bunch of animals, talking to the nation in such a way that basically denied that ever happening. And then Obasanjo, the person Emmanuel called OBJ, Olusegun Obasanjo is a former president of Nigeria. He then said, the worst part of all this is the nation is here denying things that have video evidence. Oh my God. Wow. Guys, that's where we've gotten to as a nation. And I'm so happy that now we have a generation that is woke. But we have a whole generation that we know, most of them came to the UK, to Canada, to the US, to school. So more than before have been enlightened. Our parents' generations, we can tell that they came to school, but not all of them had that opportunity like they made us have. So in a way, it's our responsibility to actually make sure we push for a change. We cannot actually put too much blame on our parents because they did the best they could to make sure our future would be better. There was nothing they could do. You just heard, in the Fela family, three generations are fighting the same government. So it's not about the parents, it's about the latest person on ground. So yeah, guys, me and Emmanuel have tried almost 15 minutes, going to almost an hour on speaking about this issue. You know, first I was supposed to talk about this issue with I think three or four, five people. But I think what me and Smart have done here, tops, I'll probably talk about this issue with one more person. That's it. Honestly, I think that's all we need. We've heard a boy talk about this. I want to hear probably a female speak about this as well. This has been wonderful, Smart. I thank you so much for coming on and for sticking your neck out. Because trust me, I've heard people also say they basically just, I mean, they didn't, in no uncertain terms, they put it as, you know, they're probably too angry to talk about this, probably touchy subject for them, this, that, and the other, which I understand, to be fair. People are in different aspects of their lives, I understand that. But for you to still come out and put your neck on the line like this, I appreciate you so much for it, bro.
No problem, man. It's just, there are so many people like affected. I mean, there are guys that dying back home just for like talking about it, like you and I are talking
100%.
About it right now. Like, I mean, the least we can do is just to try and still, you know, push out the 100%. Awareness
as much as we can. For it, you have to just say something. You being quiet is worse in any way, shape, or form. You being quiet is worse, bro. Whoever is listening to this, if you know that you probably told me that you were too angry or too sad to talk about this. Bro, imagine you died and I said I was too tired to talk about the reasons why you died. Okay, bro, let's move on quickly. If you were to talk about possible solutions for this nation, you mentioned one earlier, awareness.
Yeah.
What are the ways you think we could create awareness concerning this moving forward, bro?
Well, I think first things first is because I think the people that I really, really need to be aware are the people that are like not on these platforms we're using to push it. Like people that we know are not like familiar with like platforms like Twitter, Instagram and things like that.
That's
because
you.
All these guys are basically what they are using to get their source of information.
And the uneducated population, yeah. They are basically their thugs.
Yeah, because what they are using to get, even not necessarily the uneducated per se, like there are some people that necessarily don't get their information from all these places we get our information from. So like they get
That's
their information
true.
From things like WhatsApp, things like MTAIT channels, you know, things like that.
That's
and like
very true.
And like imagine somebody that normally gets their information from there and then all of a sudden it's just like us that are on Twitter now. Twitter is how we get information and all these type of things. And then they tell you that they are killing people in America. Like that. Like they are really, really killing people in America. But like on Twitter, like you can see Trump is still tweeting normally, like Twitter is still going normally.
Yep.
Like, you are going to be like, is this fake news or something? Or like, you're not even going to, unless somebody even tells you, you're not even going to like really know about it. You get what I'm saying? So like this, there are people like that in Nigeria that just watch like NTA, AIT channels, things like that. And all those news channels, they have not been carrying this thing. They have been, or even the few times they carry, they twist the story to say, who Trump's trying to do this or that. You get, so like we need like just to find a way to like get all these people to like know. Like I think even a very good way to do that is just word of mouth to start with, and like we can like come up with like little like, I don't know, committees or something that like, you know, like each state, like once in a while, like just go around just like letting people know like what the situation of our country is right now, like how we can like, you know, go forward. You get what I'm saying? Like there's a possibility.
So you're saying people in different states,
yeah,
like youths, like our youths,
yeah,
in different states probably like come together.
Yeah, like
and
I'm sure like a small committee, like to try and just be going around and like just be like, you know, like just letting guys like
try to enlighten people about the nation they are in.
Yeah, like just start conversations with people, know what they actually know right now, and like just try and like educate them.
Like all these random town meetings.
Yeah, so to know like, you know, so like next time something like we're protesting or something, like these people that I have told before, like when they see the movement, they see the thing, they're like, oh, this guy, this thing that he gets, like they're like, oh, so this one is that girl or that guy was talking about the other day, and like they're like, they're actually serious about this thing and everything, and like they actually join, it's not the one that they just see and they're ignorant of it because they're like, oh, this youth again, they're just doing that thing. You know what I'm saying? So like it's just best
awareness.
And at the same time, all these the talks they call, like if they are aware, like they will be aware of these type of things. Like even like they will be aware of this type of thing not to even want to do it. You get what I'm saying?
100%.
So like
100%.
That's how I feel.
I got you. Awareness, that's a very strong one. So a solution, guys, that we are taking up awareness, and just like Emmanuel explained, if we can get people to come together and actually go to states, by God's grace in the future, that is something that has to happen. For people to come together and go to states and just have random town hall meetings, something that you only expect in a campaign if someone is running for office or something. That's what that country needs at the very core. Just random, just go on a random one, just go and start talking about your country to a group of people that you know probably don't know what's going on. That's a solid point right there. By God's grace, the right ears will listen to all of this. Honestly, that's that for that on awareness. Do you have any other thing, or was that your major one that you always had in your head?
Well, obviously, that like awareness can just be the only thing that like going forward.
100%.
Different things, but like that's like one of the major things I see, guys, and like educating ourselves in terms of like the power we have to actually change things, because like. We can just go out and be shouting, and like we can go out and be letting our voice be known, but like we can see that like we are not in an ideal world. In an ideal world, that would just happened, or even a world that's even close to being ideal or trying to be ideal, that would be enough. But like, our government is not even trying to make us live in an ideal world. So like, just let people's voice to be heard is not like, is not enough. So like, I feel like we should educate ourselves on the power we have, like what we can control, like things like okay, like who what gives the person has so much power, what why are all these guys like just following whoever is giving this command or whatever. So like, once we discover that, and once we discover like maybe for the position and everything, we can start thinking about okay, like what position are we going to vote for, who are we going to vote for this, and like things like that. So that way, like, even if like we end up getting a suitable leader for the country coming 2023, like his job is not going to be as hard, because we already have people below him in those positions that already have the same vision with him. So like, it's going to be he's going to have people already like supporting him with the whole movement, than just him fighting all these people that like they are just focused on taking the country backwards. So like,
I think
that's another thing we should
do. I understand what you just said, Emmanuel. You said for people to try and understand the kind of power
we have
and the kind of power in these offices. So like knowing what a president is supposed to do, what a governor is supposed to do.
So that way we can make the right decisions for who we feel is right to be there.
100%.
And at the same time, we can also hold them accountable, because if we don't even know what they're accountable for, how can we hold them accountable in the first place?
100%. I love that.
That's what I feel.
Wow. If we don't know what they're accountable for, how can we hold them accountable? Wow. Wow. So you spoke about awareness, and you touched about how will I coin this in one statement as a second point.
Education, or I don't know.
Educating ourselves. Educating ourselves on the power. Educating ourselves on Nigeria's political power.
Because we have the people, we have serious power, and that we should understand. These people are working for us. We are not the ones working for them. So like, when we come to realize that, like, we tend to like, I think we take it more serious. Like, we have the confidence to take it more serious.
How can you? What you just said about accountability, say it one more time, Manu.
Oh, how can you hold somebody accountable when you don't even know what they're accountable for in the first place?
Wow.
You know, like, you don't even know what they're in charge of in the first place. So like, how do you know if I'm doing my job or not?
Wow. So would you hold those 2 points as what you can give? And that's
obviously like those, I think those are my two main points. Like, I have other points that I can keep on, like I just have like going up in my head, because obviously we have to like have a committee or like a platform in which we can freely give out our thoughts without like the influence of any like fake news or whatever, like where genuine thoughts we give, we flow through, and we know we're doing it ourselves. If a platform is needed, I seriously feel like a platform is needed for that. But like,
wow, platform like, is needed.
Talking about those ones now is going to be into way more things.
Yeah, no problem. Now, these two solid points, bro, that's more than enough, bro. Bro, thank you again so much for coming on this, bro. And fam, when I get done with this, chopping it up and whatnot, bro, the marketing for this, bro, like the way I'll try and spread this, and obviously I'll let you know like where we'll post this and whatnot, the kind of things, bro, please, let's try and go. We're going to try and go hard in spreading this word right here, because Emmanuel, people listen to this podcast right here. It's not a game. You can't sit down now and think of a place where you could actually go and listen to people talk about the situation of Nigeria, bro. You can't actually think of that. That is why I had to make sure that we create something like this, man. Because there is nowhere, just thinking about it now, where one can go and see, oh, maybe some people that are just talking about what's even going on in the nation. Everybody's only between him and his friend. Nobody's really, no one's really said anything outside there like that. Like, discussing about, bro, no worries, man. Thank you so much once again, bro. And
Thanks for having me.
Guys, this has been Emmanuel, man. You got your last words for them quickly.
Nothing much, you're like everybody, like yeah. wherever country, wherever you are, like I mean, like yep. just try to be the best at whatever you're doing, you know, like
all right,
like because I think personally, I like always trying to leave a place better, or at least yep. the same way you saw it. Because, like, if that was the mentality of everybody, like I don't know, I think we won't even be having a discussion about inside right now, like just even having compassion for like your fellow people around you. Just even trying to put in actual effort into doing what you are doing, like I just think the world will be a better place in general.
Nigerians, please do not rest on this, man. This is a war. It's not a battle. This is long term. I heard someone say something. We are just on commercial break right now. That boy will be back.
Yeah, for sure.
I was like, I love for that, sure. man. No worries, bro. Thank you so much for this, bro. Go do what you gotta do, man. Thank you for putting your time for this, bro. All right, bro. Take care.